Blog Talk Radio.
Where y'all at? Where y'all at? Get this party started. Where y'all at? Where y'all at?
Now on a Wednesday, what is this, April the 15th? Man, time is flying by. Only 15 more days for the NFL draft. But of course, without further ado, you are officially talking sports for the 12th man. If you didn't know, I'm always sitting at the table. I'm Andre Peterson, joined by my crew, my fellas, my posse. I got my boy Robert Ford checking in from New Orleans, as well as JQ. And I got to check in, Mr. Robert Ford. How you doing this evening, sir?
Man, couldn't be better, man. I tell you what. Pelicans are going to the playoffs.
I'm going to say
here we go.
We just happy to get in, man. The Hawks got number one seed.
We're going to show you a little love, man. You know, we are going to give that. Yeah, congrats to the Pelicans that we have said, too. But also, let's check in with Mr. Jaquan Jenkins. JQ, how are you doing this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I'm good. I'm just watching. You know, my Lakers is just all about the draft lottery for me, so I'm just on the outside looking in.
You guys trying to get that number one and number two pick.
I'm just trying to stay in the top five.
Top five? Yeah.
Well,
they
pick.
You know what? Once the NBA draft comes along, too, I'm curious to hear Jaquan as far as his predictions he wants to get to, man, because it's going to be an interesting draft as it comes along, too, man. So, you know, if there's no frozen envelope somewhere as far as controversy, but that's a whole other conversation. And the Knicks. But anyway, without further ado, America, we want to always set the stage as far as the show. If you want to call in, the number to call is 424-243-9519. We are also in the social media world via Twitter. If you go to Twitter, if you go to the number 12 THMAN Sports, which is 12 Man Sports, so find us in that instance. And then finally, if you want to hit us up on social media in the Facebook world, you can go to facebook.com/12Man Sports, or if you put in Talking Sports 12 Man, you will find us as well. But without further ado, man, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. And yeah, you know, pretty much top of mind, we're going to kick it off, guys, with some NBA talk and in the NBA playoff seedings. You know, congrats, like you said, Rob, as far as your Pelicans. And you want to set this off, Rob, as far as the playoffs and seedings and kind of what's happening right now, because this is officially the last night for the regular season.
Well, we still have a couple of games going on that's going to affect some of the seedings. But if you look at the Western Conference right now, we're looking at a first-round matchup, number one seed Golden State against the Pelicans. Looking at Houston Rockets, this is a done deal as well. Number two seed, they'll be facing the Dallas Mavericks, number seven. Also, the Clippers are the number three seed. That is a guarantee as well. Now, that five and six seed is still up in the air right now. San Antonio is the fifth seed. Memphis is the sixth. But if Memphis wins, they'll be tied with Spurs. Memphis on a tiebreaker. Memphis will move up to number five and play the Trailblazers at number four. And the Spurs would play the Clippers at three. And as I'm looking at this right now, the Grizzlies are up by 11 over the Pacers. So if they hold on to win, they will move up to the five seed and play the Portland Trailblazers. And the Spurs would drop down to number six and play the Clippers. So, you know, the Western Conference is loaded. I mean, all of those matchups could – a lot of these matchups could really go either way. And when you look at it, I mean, just from the surface here, you know, you got to like the Warriors. I think I would like the Rockets over the Mavericks. I'm thinking I'm picking the Spurs, whether they're playing the Blazers or the Clippers. And the Grizzlies is kind of falling off, but so have the Blazers. So I think whoever plays Portland wins, too. So I see the Spurs and the Grizzlies moving on as a five and six seed. And I would see – I would say – well, I take that back. If the Grizzlies dropped, if the Grizzlies stay at number six, I don't think they beat the Clippers, but I think they can beat Portland. So I think it's important for the Grizzlies to win this game if they want to advance in the playoffs.
Yeah, let's kick it to JQ for the Western Conference as well, because I'm sure that his division. We'll kind of split it for the Eastern. So, JQ, any thoughts about the kind of seedings and kind of those playoff matchups, if you will, sir?
Yeah, and I think Rob hit it on the head. I would agree with all of those. And I know the Clippers have to be at home praying, I think, for, you know, Indiana to come back. They wanted, I think they would rather play the Grizzlies than play the Spurs, because I don't think anybody really wants the Spurs in the first round with the streak that they've been on. But outside of that, I think, he hit it pretty much in the head. Golden State, I think, beats the Pelicans in a better series. It may not look that way in terms of the numbers. It might be like 4-1, 4-2, but I think the Pelicans will still give the Warriors a little bit of problems in game, but I think the Warriors will still come up out 4-1 or 4-2. I think the Rockets destroyed the Mavericks. And then, I agree, I think the Blazers and the Grizzlies are slumping. So I would like to see the Grizzlies and the Blazers play. Maybe two slumping teams bring the best out of each other. But, again, I don't think the Clippers want any parts of San Antonio in that first round.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Then you go over to the Eastern Conference.
But I just want to make one point, and I kind of agree with Doc Rivers. I think it's a travesty that the Blazers get to hold on to that fourth seed, even though they win the division and they got 51 wins. And, you know, that would basically put them in the sixth seed right now if you took the division winners out of securing them a top four spot. So I think that's a little shady. I know that it doesn't happen that often, but, I mean, reward them for winning the division. You know, let them celebrate that banner, but, you know, don't let that be a determination in the season when people have a better record than they do.
I totally agree with that. And if you look at that, if you look at that situation there with the Blazers, they're the only team from that division going to the playoffs. And then you look at the division, the Southwest Division, where you have Houston, where you have the Spurs, where you have Memphis, where you have Dallas, and you have the Pelicans. All five of those teams from that division are going to the playoffs. And so Doc Rivers makes a strong point there. And then you look at the other division, the Pacific Division, you have Golden State and the Clippers. I mean, five of the teams in the Western Conference coming out of one division.
Right.
And the Blazers are being rewarded for, and they're the only team that's a playoff team in that division.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Big calls. Let's keep going to the Eastern Conference. Was that what you were talking about, Rob? Randy kind of kicked us here. I'm excited about this.
Over the seeding there. The only thing that's still undecided is Indiana and Brooklyn for that 8th seed. If Indiana wins, they get the 8th seed. If they lose, Brooklyn moves up to the 8th seed. And as we just talked about, the Pacers are now down by 12. So if that holds, Brooklyn will move up to the 8th seed. Excuse me, y'all. Brooklyn will move up to the 8th seed. I think if you're the Atlanta Hawks, you would want to play Brooklyn. I think Indiana, getting Paul George back. I think if you're the Hawks, I think they would beat either one of them, but I think the Pacers would give them a tougher first-round matchup. So I think if you're the Hawks, you would want to see the Brooklyn Nets here in this first round. I think the Hawks advance regardless. Cleveland over Boston. Cleveland number 2 seed, Boston the 7th seed. Chicago the 3 seed, getting Derrick Rose back in the 6th seed of Milwaukee. You got to go with Chicago there. Toronto the 4 seed, the Wizards are the 5 seed. That's a tough one to call there, but I'm just going to go with the Raptors. But, you know, that Wizards team is pretty tough, too, when they're all healthy with John Wall and Bradley Beal. And they have a physical front line, too. But I'm going to go with the Wizards. I'm going to go with the Raptors, I'm sorry, to pull that one out in 7 games.
No, you meant to say it. You had it right. I think the Wizards win that one. Before what you just said, and I like Paul Pierce's playoff experience helping the Wizards put them over the edge because he, if I'm not mistaken, he helped eliminate the Raptors last year with the Nets, correct?
That's true. That's a good call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to take the Wizards in that one. I know you're going to get mad at me, Dre, but if the Pacers come back somehow and beat Memphis, I like them over Atlanta. I like the Pacers' toughness, the fact they stuck it out this season. And, you know, you're talking about being a year removed from the Eastern Conference Finals. I like the Pacers over the Hawks in a huge upset if they make the 8th seed. The Hawks want no parts of the Pacers in the first round. They play the Nets. They sweep the Nets.
You know what, JQ?
That's a bold prediction.
JQ, I'm really not mad at you, but, you know, this is what I got to say to that. You know, I don't really care who we play, you know, and I don't think Indiana can score enough. So, you know, that's that's my thing. I mean, you know, Paul George, he's kind of getting his own. He's not quite there yet, man. So they lost Lance Stephenson. I don't think they have enough firepower. I mean, you know, they'll probably give us a game, but, you know, at this juncture, it doesn't really matter. You know, if it's the Pacers, I prefer to be the Pacers because I want the Brooklyn Nets lottery pick, man. So, you know, that's what I'm saying.
True.
So, you know, so I don't really care. But, you know, that's me. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I mean, you're correct. Atlanta can score, but what I like about it is the Pacers are proven in the playoffs, and they're going to play top-notch defense. And when you are playing, like we talked about before, and you get into that seven-game series, and you get to the point where you know exactly what plays are coming from the other team because you're getting to see them over and over and over again, I like the Pacers' defense and their philosophy in that kind of setting, which is why I would take the Pacers.
Like I said, man.
That's a bold prediction.
But, you know.
But I can definitely see the Wizards beating the Raptors. That one would not surprise me. Can definitely see that one happen. That's a toss-up series, in my opinion. I can definitely go along with the Wizards. But the Pacers, I think, like I said, I think they would definitely give the Hawks a run for their money. It would be a tough series. And I think they could take the Hawks six games, but I think somehow Atlanta pulls it out.
Yep, I like it. Yeah. I like it. It's good, man. Bold predictions, what we do, they're having some fun, man. I was going to say, just like, you know, Johnny Rehab, maybe Jaquez coming out of rehab. I don't know, but we'll keep an eye on it. Too, as far as that fits. But I'm just messing with you, JQ, man. We're having some fun, man. But that's it as far as the NBA playoff cities, man. We'll keep an eye on that. It is going to be exciting, man. We got a couple more games to see how it actually plays out. We're, you know, pretty good as far as that as well. Let's talk about a couple of things here if you didn't know. And I made a quote last week as far as what would you rather have, if you rather have the one-and-dones or kind of like the team, you know, have players to stay for a couple of years. And then you mess around and find out that Duke star freshman point guard Tyus Jones is going to enter the NBA draft. And I got to take a step back because it looks like Mike Krzyzewski is winning both ways. He's getting the one-and-dones and he's getting some guys that stay for a little while. So he's beating Calipari at his same game. Do we have anything as far as where Tyus is going to end up, Rob? Is he a pretty hot pick, or is he kind of a bad move or a good move, first and foremost?
Well, right now he's it's early as far as the NBA draft is concerned, but right now he's projected to go somewhere in the 20s in the first round. Long term, he's a backup point guard in the NBA, and whether he comes out this year, next year, or senior year, long term, I mean, obviously, you know, the most outstanding player in the Final Four, great college player or a great college freshman season. But long term, he's a backup point guard in the NBA. You know, he could be a backup point guard in the NBA for 10 to 12 years.
10 to 12 years, okay. All right. What do you think about this, JQ?
Yeah, and I think that's really his floor. I would have liked to see him stay a little longer only because he's so small, and not just in terms of his height, but, you know, he's pretty tiny in terms of just his stature, in terms of his build. I like to see him, you know, try to hit the weight room a little harder and try to see if he can get a better balance of toughness and strength, but kind of keep his quickness. But, you know, if somebody's going to tell you you're going to go in the first round, I can't necessarily quibble with it. You know, he can still always go back and use the money to get his education and finish up at Duke if he feels like it. So I can't be so mad. Sometimes you have to strike when the iron is hot. But I would like to see him come back for another year just to try to build up on his physique and get a little tougher, a little stronger.
Yeah. You know, good player to compare him to would be somebody like a Norris Cole, a guy that went in the latter part of the first round as well. Solid, good defender in the NBA, good shooter, good role player off the bench. And I think that's a good analogy, a good comparison for Tyus Jones. Going back 20 years with Tyus Edney. Tyus Jones, I think that's a good comparison for him.
Man, you cracked me up, man. Whenever you said Tyus Edney, man, I always go back to Ramil Robinson, man. Think, man, that's freaking Hawks part. It'll hold the conversation, man. But anyway, that's that mindset. All those point guards, man, that had all this promise, man, and they just didn't really do as much in the NBA.
I hope that turned into Johnny Flynn, is the thing.
Because
his build reminds me a little bit of Johnny Flynn. And Johnny Flynn had a really good career at Syracuse, but then he didn't make it, you know, picked high by Minnesota, so that's what I was saying. I would like to see him come back and get a little bigger. But, you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, man, and I think something happens, guys, too, because, you know, either you know, there's, because this is a pretty new injury, because, you know, something must have jogged him to say, hey, you know, you can actually go out. Because I agree with you, JQ. You want him to kind of get stronger, get some more playing time at this juncture. But if somebody said, hey, you know, you kind of proved yourself, you know, maybe he's thinking he's ready to make that jump. But, you know, I don't know. It is what it is, you know. Each situation is a little bit different in that instance, too. All right, so we met it. We talked about it earlier, and it looks like nobody wants any part of the Spurs. You know, they've been pretty much battle tested, and they're surprising us all this nice little streak, man. JQ, do you think the Spurs have the firepower and the tenacity to actually repeat?
Absolutely. They're a year older, so you got to, you know, they have a lot of mileage on those legs between regular season and playoff games, between, you know, those big three. But as long as you have Pop as your coach, you got Manu and you got Duncan and you got Parker, and then you got Kawhi Leonard, who is really the X factor. If he keeps playing like he's playing, they're going to be a really tough out to beat them 4 out of 7 games. And you know they're not going to get out coached. And they're going to spread the floor. They're going to run offense as they do. They're going to shoot corner threes. Danny Green's going to get hot on you in a couple of games. They have the recipe to defend. So I would say why not? Nobody really wants them right now. They're playing very well at the right point of the season.
What about you, Rob? What do you think about that, sir?
Well, I can't disagree with anything JQ said. I think when you look at the Western Conference, I think it's going to come down to the Warriors and the Spurs. I think, you know, and just like I look at the Eastern Conference, I think it's going to come down to the Hawks and the Cavs. And so I think the Warriors are the only team that's capable of eliminating the Spurs team. So it'll be interesting. I can definitely see the Spurs going back and competing and winning another title.
I like what you said, JQ, because you made a comment about having Pop as a coach, because it was pretty interesting. There was a great interview, and Lord forgive me, I can't remember who the player was. It was a player, gosh, I think it had to be like Brett Berry or something like that. It was, and please forgive me, guys, it was maybe a little bit before Brett Berry, now that I'm remembering this, but it was an interesting story because he was talking about how it was right whenever David Robinson and Tim Duncan were kind of, David was kind of in the spotlight of his career. And so they were playing the Utah Jazz, and it may have been Danny Ferry, but like I said, anyway, it was a no sense to my white players out there, but it's so funny. So he comes in and says, "Hey, look, you know, we want to keep Duncan and Robinson out of foul trouble, but we're gonna need you to guard Karl Malone." And guys like, "Yeah, you know, I'll do it. You know, yeah, I'm gonna, you know, step up for the team. You know, so, you know, obviously, Spurs pulled out. They ended up pulling out the game." And he's telling the story, you know, this is on the radio. He's like, telling the story, and he's like, yeah, Pop comes to me, and he's expecting Pop and Mitch to say, man, you know, hey, great job, man, you know, you were able to do your part. And he's like, yeah, you know, so I just want to tell you, man, you know, you're pretty much killing us, man. You didn't help us at all. He's like, what? You know, so he thought he was like, doing something. And, you know, it was Pop was trying to give him a joke. He's like, yeah, you really didn't help us, but you're actually killing us, man. So, but it's funny, you know, how a coach like that is able to get the best out of his players. He was obviously joking with him too, but, you know, he was like, yeah,
right.
You know, but it was just, you know, just, it just shows you how a guy with that type of experience and how he's such a good coach, man, because he gets the best out of a lot of his players too, man. So that's what I think, Rob, if you agree with me, that's kind of the difference. A lot of times in the playoffs is having a coach that can know how to kind of move those players and kind of get the best out of, you know, certain things, you know, and, you know, give it to Phil Jackson, you know, allowing, you know, certain players to guard different players. I mean, you know, just that's how it is, man, you know. So you got to give a lot of props to coaching now in the playoffs, if you will, guys.
Well, absolutely. You got more time to prepare during games in the playoffs, too. There's more breaks in between games. There's more adjustment times that you can prepare, you know, during the playoffs. And so absolutely coaching plays a huge factor when it comes to playoff time. I mean, there's more time for film study. You know, there's no back-to-backs in the playoffs. You know, so it's definitely more time for coaching and adjustments and things of that nature. More national TV games, longer commercial breaks when you get to the playoff time as well.
Yeah, and it brings it to the forefront. You will get exposed if your coach is not good. You can have the best talent on the team, but like you just said, when you have to beat somebody 4 out of 7 times and you see the same plays over again, and sometimes you may get a couple of different wrinkles out of a set, but the sets are really pretty much the same. Coaching comes to the forefront, and again, Pop is probably the best coach out there right now. I don't even know if it's really close. So it gives them definitely a leg up on everybody else.
We'll talk about
Coach
of the Year and Final Awards, too. Yep, go ahead, Rob.
I, I tell you, another guy who does a great job coaching in the playoffs, and I thought he did an excellent job even in the playoffs last year, was Rick Carlisle with the Dallas Mavericks. And they were the only team to take the Spurs 7 games in the playoffs, and that was a series that went down to the wire. Does an incredible job utilizing his personnel. He doesn't have the type of personnel that some of these other teams have. I still like the Rockets to beat them, but I expect Dallas to challenge them. Rick Carlisle is going to make the necessary coaching adjustments once we get into the playoff time.
Yeah, if I know how to play.
Yeah, you're right. Rondo will listen.
Right.
Yeah. That's a shot right there. I still think Rondo is a very enigmatic player, if you will, man. That dude is. He probably knows more. That's just me. I keep hearing a lot of good things about that. He's just, whatever. But
he's hard.
Word on the street is that he may not get re-signed by Dallas, and the Lakers are one of the teams that he may want to go for. So just keep that in mind, sir. If Kobe and him decide to get along, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, there you go.
Man, they'll just be slapping people in practice. Those two dudes.
They'd be fighting every day.
That would be interesting. You know, do you want to go play with an agent, Kobe Bryant, or do you want to go with a team that's going to have a chance to compete for a title? So that's going to be interesting to see what Rajon Rondo decides. But I can definitely see that Dallas is probably going to be willing to let him walk, and not get anything in return. So I definitely think they will be willing to do that. I tell you, another team that will be interesting to watch here in the playoffs is the Clippers. Chris Paul has yet to get past the second round. There's a lot of pressure on him to advance past the second round. So that's going to be interesting to see as well. I still don't think they're going to do it, but there's a lot of pressure in Los Angeles. It's time for Chris Paul to get his team past the second round of the playoffs. Even in New Orleans, the furthest he went was the second round. So he's still yet to make it to a conference finals. And the heat is on him out there in Los Angeles. And now he's got Doc Rivers with him, too.
Cliff Paul, better come correct here. Rob, we got about 7 minutes, right around 7:40 minutes here. I'm going to go ahead and do a quick fantasy shout-out. We can kind of switch it to the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we wrapped up our fantasy basketball league about a week or so ago, and I want to give offer congratulations to our winner. Pastor Rock is the winner, and right here from the New Orleans area, won the fantasy basketball league. So congratulations. Look forward to competing with all of you all again on next year. And, of course, with fantasy football rolling around, I'm sure we'll be posting draft updates sometime in the month of August. So stay tuned for that.
Congratulations, Pastor Rock. I'm going to take my ball home and leave, man, but that's one of the conversations about that. Let's talk about some NFL. And you know, we're about 15 days from the draft, fellas. Not sure I'm a big fan of the Chicago thing, but that's neither here nor there. But there's been a lot of interesting moves, a lot of rumors out there. One of the rumors, which has clearly caught everyone off guard, is the fact that the Chargers may be shopping Phillip Rivers. I've heard as high as number 2 to the Tennessee Titans. What's going on with this? I'm going to kick it to Rob first. And you know, what's going on? Is this an opportunity for Marcus Mariota? And you know that Chip Kelly is going nuts. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I mean, there's some talk, how long Phillip Rivers wants to continue playing. And so there's a lot of rumors with that, as well as, you know, signing a long-term contract with the Chargers. So they're getting a little bit worried. I think when it's all said and done, Phillip Rivers will still be in the Chargers uniform this coming season. I don't see the trade for them to move up and draft Marcus Mariota. I could be wrong. I just don't see it happening. At the moment, I guess we got about 15 days to find out if that's really going to go down. And I tell you, the draft can't get here fast enough. But that's an interesting, you know, dilemma that the Chargers have there. But I think when it's all said and done, Phillip Rivers will still be in the Chargers uniform. I think he'll still give them the best chance to succeed this season and maybe even a year afterwards. And I just think you address that situation when it's time to address it. But right now, he still gives them the best chance to win.
What do you think about this, JQ?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a silly dilemma. I mean, you know what you have in Phillip Rivers, and Marcus may be that guy, but I don't think Phillip is doing anything to hold that San Diego franchise back. So I would definitely wouldn't make that trade unless somebody blows them away with a god-awful Herschel Walker type deal, which they're not going to do for Rivers. I like him, but he's not that great. But outside of that, I can't see that happening. But I did hear something else crazy that Phillip Rivers wasn't real keen on the team moving to Los Angeles, and that he would rather live in Tennessee and play for Tennessee. That in, if they moved to L.A., that was a big problem for him having to play in L.A. So I don't know all the validity to that rumor, but I did read that. I thought that was interesting because you can pretty much live where you want to. You know, you got a ton of money.
Absolutely.
You know, you can just have a condo in L.A. throughout the season, then you move to wherever you want to in the offseason. But the fact
which a lot of players do.
Exactly. So I don't know if there's just some friction between he and the front office, or if he just is ready for a change of scenery, if he's driving this or what. But from a San Diego standpoint, you try to convince him as much as you can to stay with the team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you interested?
Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's interesting that JQ brought up the Los Angeles thing. There is an outside chance that we can have three teams in Los Angeles in a few years. The Chargers are looking at possibly getting a stadium in Los Angeles, as well as the Raiders and the Rams are considering going back to Los Angeles. So it's there's a possibility that we could have three teams in Los Angeles here in a few years. And I know the NFL wants at least one there, but there's an outside chance that we could have three teams in Los Angeles in a few years.
Well, you got the Chargers and the Raiders are talking about sharing that stadium.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And the Rams building their own.
Correct.
That is some craziness, man. If that happened, man.
And what's interesting, those are rival teams as well. And and so, I mean, there's some talk, or they might have to realign a little bit if they was to make that happen. And so, you know, that would be interesting to see how the NFL will make that work. Obviously, Los Angeles is the second largest TV market in the United States. And, you know, anybody that's been to Los Angeles, you know, most towns in America are football-first cities, but Los Angeles is a little bit different. It's a basketball-first town. And but the NFL still wants to be in that market. It's the second largest TV market in the country, and they're just looking at it from an advertising dollar standpoint.
Yeah. And it's a transplant town. You don't have a whole lot of people. I mean, you got so many people that are from everywhere else that root for a whole bunch of different teams that – you know, you still have that as so much of a drawback because people are there, but they're still rooting for the Giants or, you know, the 49ers or wherever they come from to move to Los Angeles. So they're not just born and raised in L.A. either. So,
absolutely.
Unbelievable, man. You know, I just got to say that, you know, I heard both of those rumors as far as Phil Rivers, JQ, as far as him not wanting to play in L.A., so I heard about that. I also heard the fact that the Chargers aren't really – you know, really acting like they want to give him a contract extension, so maybe they have something to do with that as well. Because he is an older quarterback, Rob, so he's 33, so, you know, why do you want to extend that quarterback or that contract? But if anything does happen, guys, I kind of feel like a little deja vu. You'd hope they would realize this because they got rid of a guy named Drew Brees, and how did that go out for him, you know? So, you know, I don't think you want to give up on a guy just that, you know, soon. And, you know, there's still a lot of question marks about Marcus Mariota. You know, he scored well, but anyway, that's what that said. Man, so Thomas Fine, I apologize, guys. We had about a minute or so, Rob. You're going to go ahead and set up the OT portion. We'll talk about some more draft coverage and get going, maybe a sample one of the best questions for you guys and have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get ready to prepare for OT, and I got a comment about Marcus Mariota as soon as we get into our OT portion. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you all tuning in to our show tonight. Unfortunately, this is all for our live portion. We still got a great OT portion. We got more NFL. We even got a little college sports we might even try to squeeze in our OT portion. So you definitely have to get some time tomorrow. Click on the same link and tune in. We got some NFL draft coverage still to talk about in this OT portion. So you don't want to miss it with the draft being only 15 days away. So definitely tune in on tomorrow to the OT portion. Tune in again next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, that's 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss our show on next Tuesday night. That is always subject to change, so just pay attention to our Facebook and Twitter pages. Good night, people.
JQ, anything you want to say?
Happy tax day, everybody. I hope you got a refund.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, man. I love it. We are getting ready to kick into the OT. That's what we do. We are kicking into the OT portion. And let's get this party started. So, yeah, we're going to definitely do some NFL draft. I tried to end that with a little
reggae. Oh, yeah, a little reggae. I like that. I like that flavor. Oh, yeah, let's crank it up.
Let's talk about some draft coverage, guys. So, you know, we're getting ready, and as I said earlier, I'm not too much of a fan of the switch to Chicago. Maybe they'll split it out. But one thing you want to talk about, Rob, you want to talk about the mock draft you put together or just kind of just general draft talk, if you will?
Well, a little bit of both. And, I know we was talking about Marcus Mariota right before the end of our live portion, and I just wanted to add a quick comment. Last week on the show, I talked about he can go anywhere from like 2 to 10 or even, you know, even to 11 to 12. I think in the last week or so, a lot of NFL scouts are, slightly raising his grade a little bit based on his performance and individual workouts with teams too. So I think we're definitely looking at somewhere like a 2 to 6, 2 to 7 at worst with Marcus Mariota right now. So some teams or, you know, raising the draft grade up a little bit more. If you look at my latest mock draft here, I still have him going somewhere around number 5 in this draft, whether it be the Redskins or a team moving up like the Bears or someone like that, or the Jets moving up to number 5 or someone like that to move up and grab him as well. I still think the Redskins are a wild card with Jay Gruden. I still don't think he's that sold on RG3 as well.
He's not sold on RG3 at all. So I don't think he falls past 5 to Washington. And even if you have to have some sort of controversy, I think at some point if you're Dan Snyder, you have to turn over a leaf and show people that you're not going to pamper your athletes and you're going to have to make them earn everything they get. I agree. I think Gruden is definitely not sold on RG3. But I still have a hard time seeing him fall out past that too because, like I said, this is a quarterback-driven league. And if Tennessee doesn't take him, because I'm not certain on Messaberger being better than Mariota, so to speak, and somebody might panic and try to move up to 2 before he starts to fall down into that Washington, New York area at 5 or 6. So I think 6 is probably the last spot I think he would, where he would fall to. That's just me. But back to your point earlier, Dre, why don't you like Chicago for the draft? I like the fact that they're moving it around and giving it more access to people. You have Chicago in the middle, that Midwest area, so you can get people from Ohio, from Indiana, from Minnesota, from Michigan, from Wisconsin, and from Iowa, all that can be within the driving range to come see it where they probably wouldn't be able to come do it trying to get in and out of New York. So I kind of like
that. I like the fact moving around. I think they should move it around every year, personally. I agree with that.
I'm just saying, I'm curious as far as how it's going to play out for now. I mean, obviously, you have the Radio City Hall. New York is kind of like, that. I mean, I'm not saying it's like I'm totally hating it completely, but it's just me. I'm just, it's saying like moving around the Pro Bowl. The Pro Bowl, it's kind of have the stigma, kind of why. But, I'm going to give it a shot. I'm not 100% like I'm hating it like it's that. I'm just not quite sure how it's going to end up playing out, But, we'll
see. You
like
the tradition.
We'll see. I like the tradition right now, but I'm okay. I'm seeing how it's going to play out, if you will. And plus, I'm mad because I wanted to go to New York and, they kind of messed me over. So, thanks, Roger Goodell, for that, too. But I was planning on going, too, but some things had to get shipped around. So that's just me a little shot there. I do quickly want to talk about Marcus Mariota, too, because there's a lot of quick points, guys, besides making Chip Kelly extremely nervous about what's happening. I actually do like, believe it or not, I think that I'm not 100% sold on Marcus on the next level, guys. I think he's going to be better than clearly better than Blake Bortles, but I think he's going to struggle a little bit right now, man. So if you're Tennessee, you probably have more. I think Marcus may have a higher upside, but for now, I think Bettenberger. He's done some things, but he's got a big arm. Make him kind of fail at this time. There's not a lot of investment in him, so you really have to. Marcus has to really, really blow away. The Titans, or to kind of make that pick too. That's kind of me. But, that's why they're kind of willing to kind of make some concessions here. If there's an Andrew Luck or, Peyton Manning in the draft, then I'm sure they wouldn't, they would probably jump at that cause too. As you said, it is a quarterback-driven league, JQ, but I'm just thinking, I don't think he's that sure of a thing just yet. He's got a great upside, but there's still a lot of question marks as far as, him on the field. So that's kind of my little two cents on that in that instance too.
Yeah, but
so.
here's, But here's the thing about that, though. If you have an unproven quarterback on your roster and Metzenberger and Mariota, and you pass on him, he goes somewhere and he blows up, you're fired as the GM because you pass up on somebody with a higher upside, so to speak, for somebody that hasn't really proven anything yet. So you kind of have to weigh both of those when you're picking number two. So it kind of sucks for him sitting there at number two with that quarterback there because you don't have a quarterback that you can really say, you know, he's done X, Y, and Z. This is my guy. And I know that he can get it done, and you pass on Marcus, who everybody is saying, you know, it might be the best quarterback in the draft. It's not definitely the second-best quarterback, and you let him go. And if he goes somewhere and he balls out, then it's going to look really bad for you and your regime, and you won't have that job for long.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I mean, like I said, you know, you had Ryan Leaf. You had a couple of things that balled out, but you still don't know. I mean, unless the guy is like the Andrew Luck second coming, then you got to worry about that, you know. But I don't think he's quite there yet. I mean, you haven't, you know, he's good, but you know, I don't think he's that sure.
Yeah, no, he's not Luck.
So that's kind of what I'm saying. I mean, unless you know that guy's a sure thing, then you know you're still kind of like, you know, what if he blows up? What if he doesn't? You know, is he Blake Bortles or is he, you know, Teddy Bridgewater? Yeah, you don't know. You know, until you get to the league and you know a couple things that you have to, you know, prove and stuff like that too. So you know. So question marks about Jameis, you know, because Jameis has it on the field, but off the field, you know, you hope he's surrounded and he's ready, but, you know, you got to let things play out for sure, guys. So,
well,
good calls, man.
I agree.
Well, I think, you know, based on what sources are saying, he's looking a lot better in his individual workouts, but there's still a learning curve with Marcus Mariota. I think there's some scouts that feel like he may need a year as far as development before he's a starter. And I think the one thing, if you're Tennessee – the NFL is a win-now business. You can go from first or worst to first in a year's time. And Ken Wisenhunt, the head coach of Tennessee, has got to make a decision here. You know, how much time do I have? I mean, do we want to roll with Mettenberger and just build some players around him, or do we take our chances with Mariota? So I can definitely understand both sides of what you guys are saying. But that's an interesting dilemma. Right now in the NFL, if a coach doesn't win in 3 years, they're getting axed. And he's already got 1 year under his belt where he didn't win. And so he's got two more years. Yeah, so he's got two more years where he's got to at least win here. Or he's more than likely going to get the axe.
Yeah, that's everywhere except for Cincinnati. You can suck and still be the coach of Cincinnati.
Boy, JP is on a mission. He's on a mission.
Marvin Lewis is the new Jim Mara. He gets to the playoffs and loses.
Man, listen.
We're talking about playoffs.
He's the new Jim Mara. He gets to the playoffs every year and lose.
Hey, that dude has been the coach like 14 years, and he's 9 games above 500. I'm just saying.
Wow.
We're gonna piggyback this comment too, Rob, because that's another thing, Rob, that you said too. You know, it's a win now league, and that's probably why you've heard a lot of those rumors about Phillip Rivers going to Tennessee. So. You know, that's why you can kind of put two and two together in that instance too. But I do want to keep the draft covers talking here. We're right about 11:38 here, so we got a couple more, you know, about 6 minutes or so. I do want to talk about the Wonderlic, and you know, if the test scores are actually pretty important. I do have some sample Wonderlic questions here to ask you guys too. If you didn't know, Jameis Winston scored a 20 on that, which is same score, ironically, as Peyton Manning. They didn't score more than...
I thought he scored
a
27.
Yeah, he got 27.
Yeah, 6.
Yeah, I thought I read he got a 27.
Yeah, my bad. I was thinking of that. My bad, I was thinking about Tim Tebow, who had a 22 in his Wonderlic, so I don't know about that.
Come on, man.
So,
my
you know,
word.
So, you know, I had to figure out a way to put it in there, man.
You got to bring up Tim Tebow. I tell you, man, you got a man crush on the dude.
I just want to figure out it was kind of relevant, man. So I had to figure out how to way how to play it out, man. These are some of the questions, guys, for the Wonderlic. Pretty easy, like the ninth month of the year is October, January, June, September, May. That's one of the questions.
September.
One of the questions is, there you go. Yeah, you get that one. A train travels 20 feet in... one-fifth of a second at the same speed, how many feet will it travel in 3 seconds is one of the questions. I'm like, whoa.
40 feet.
There you go. There's one, it's like a boy is 17 years old and his sister is twice as old. when the boy is 23 years old, how old, what is the age of his sister? You're like, you know, so that's one of those questions too, man. So
39?
Yeah, think about that one.
I think what the Wonderlink test is designed to do
it's
more of a time test. It's more of a how quick can you think with these answers. So it's really more of a time test because there is a certain amount of time you have to take the test. And so, you know, and basically, especially from a quarterback standpoint, how quickly can you process information? And so, but if you look at some of the guys that scored the highest scores, you look at Greg McElroy, used to be a quarterback at Alabama. I think he scored a 42. I mean, where is he today? He's broadcasting on television. So, I mean, still a nice career, but not in the NFL. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I believe, has got the highest score at 48. I mean, went to Harvard. But, you know, he's an average, and by NFL standards, he's an average quarterback. And I don't know how much. Andrew Luck, you know, went to Stanford, got a 37. It's pretty good as well. Peyton Manning, as you mentioned, a 27. I think Drew Brees, a 28. I think Tom Brady, a 33. I think it means a little. I don't think it means a lot. It's just my personal opinion.
I think it's just a
then
factor.
You got, like,
I think it's a factor.
Go ahead, Jake. You finish that thought.
I was going to say, I think it's just a factor because, like, when you see Geno Smith score, like, I think he had, like, a 12 or a 13, and Vince Young had, like, a 15 or something crazy. So it gives you an indication where they are. But I agree totally with Rob. It's a time test, so it gives you how do you process information, how fastly can you move through it and come to the right conclusion. So it's a factor, and I think it's more important for a quarterback than for anybody else. But if you just need one piece of information that you choose that you put with everything else that you know about a person, it shouldn't be the one thing you hang your hat on and say, ha-ha, he did this, so on the one leg, so I'm going to go with him because of the one leg score. If you do that, that's crazy. So it's just a piece of the puzzle, but not the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't go to Sanford or Sun Route. You big dummy. You know, that's not good. You know, keep that row, man. You know, didn't like Dan Marino score like 13 or something, or 17 or something crazy like that? And he's like a Hall of Famer. There you go. Hey, as we wrap up this show, that's funny. As we wrap up, guys, let's talk about the conference realignment. As far as some rivalries in college football sports, man, and I guess that's the question. Has it hurt? And I'm going to say yes. You love to see those classic matchups, man. You know, Notre Dame and USC and the Notre Dames and just kind of having, you know, Michigan. And just there's a lot of things that's been bad, man. So I'm going to say yes, it has. JQ, do you have any thoughts on this, sir? I mean, as we kind of get ready to wrap up the show.
Yeah, and then for basketball, you know, like Syracuse and Georgetown every year. The thing about it is that the ADs, and there was a really good article about it on ESPN, about why they do the schedule so far in advance, because they're so worried about not being able to get something at the last minute. They only do 2 or 3 years out. But it really goes to the ADs. You know, if you want to make sure that you don't play, you know, Appalachian State in the first week and you play one of your other rivals, you can make that happen if you want to. So it's really about dollars and cents and about pride. Well, you left my conference, so I'm not going to play you anymore. You know, like you said earlier, I'm going to take my ball and go home kind of mentality. So if they would kind of remove that from the equation and just keep with the fans and your alumni foremost in your decision-making, you could get away from most of this. But, I mean, the realignment hurts, but I think the ADs and their agendas and their egos hurt worse.
Rob, you got to wrap this up, sir. Go ahead and wrap up the show to you as well, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you both make some really good points. And, yeah, we're missing out on some huge rivalries. Just think about it from a football standpoint. Texas A&M, you know, used to be in the Big 12, but now A&M is in the SEC, so they don't play against each other around Thanksgiving time anymore. They haven't played in 4 years, so no time in the future scheduled for a future date, so they're not willing to play anytime soon. I remember the backyard brawl, Pittsburgh and West Virginia in football. They haven't played since 2011. West Virginia is now in the Big 12. Pittsburgh is now in the ACC. They have no intention of renewing the rivalry. Kansas-Missouri. Missouri goes to the SEC. Both they had a huge basketball rivalry, Kansas and Missouri. And now with Missouri and the SEC, they once again have not played since 2011. And the big football rivalry used to be one of my favorites as a kid, Nebraska and Oklahoma. with Nebraska in the Big Ten now. I mean, this was one of my favorite games to watch every year. Michigan, Notre Dame, they're not renewing their rivalry. Penn State, Pittsburgh, Florida and Miami in football, another huge rivalry. Arkansas, Texas. JQ already mentioned Georgetown, Syracuse. And one last one, Maryland in the Big Ten now. You lose the Duke-Maryland rivalry in basketball as well. And I think that's about all the time we have, people.
Way to get it in there.
Wrap it up, sir. Wrap it up, Rob.
Join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central.